Lord, we ask that you would take the words of a ordinary man and use them, because I want to point people to your word. We pray, Lord, that light would shine from your word. Thank you that your word is truth. We ask for your Holy Spirit, who graciously imparts life to sinners, that you would do that for us today, Lord. For Jesus' sake. Amen. In 2019, we published as a church our vision document, which we called Our Gospel DNA, which set the course of St. John's. If you haven't read Our Gospel DNA, do take a look at our homepage, where you can click upon vision on the banner there on the homepage, and it will take you to it. I'm grateful to for the work that we did back in 2019. We wrote this. In reflecting on our church's direction, we went through the New Testament and wrote down all of the references to the gospel. We discovered that the term gospel grows in prominence as the work of establishing churches in the New Testament grows. It becomes the increasing concern of the Apostle Paul and Peter, as well as Luke in his writing of the book of Acts, which details the events of the early church. To miss it is to miss the heart of what God is doing in the world. We may as well become a charity or a club like any other. We certainly won't be shaped by God. We certainly won't be God-shaped, and will not be what God envisions for the body of Christ in the world. In all, we wrote down more than 40 occasions of the word gospel being used in the New Testament, ignoring basic repetitions in consecutive sentences. We saw that Jesus envisaged this thing called the gospel being preached to the whole world. We saw that it was defined as the good news about the Son of God, as Mark set out at the start of his gospel. From Paul, that it was for Jew and non-Jew, that it was the power of God for salvation, and that he longs to preach it where it was not yet known. Woe to us if we do not preach the gospel, he says. We saw that the gospel was set out in advance by the Old Testament prophets, that it must be defended by those teaching it, and it must be entrusted to others, and that all who are believers strive to live lives worthy of it. As well as this, the gospel was always spreading as the first disciples concluded that God was directing them to preach the message in new places. If we're looking for a succinct summary, it is the news that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Because we're serious about this being the DNA of our church, we'll find these glorious themes shaping and defining all that we do. The very verse that we're looking at today formed the center of our vision as a church, and it must shape everything as we go forward. In doing this, I want to draw our attention to four words that identify what Paul is saying. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you're saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. The four words are preached, received, stand, and saved. First of all, preached. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, verse 1. Paul addresses them tenderly with these familial terms, brothers and sisters. Like every pastor and church planter should love their people, he loves the Corinthian church. Paul planted the seed of the gospel among them. Apollos watered it. God made it grow, as only he can do. The way that Paul came to them was with the gospel, the Greek word euangelion, which means good news or glad tidings. Christianity is a message that primarily comes to us by hearing and through people speaking glad tidings. To the Roman church, the apostle says, faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ, Romans 10:17. The idea that we don't need to speak for people to be evangelized, to be won over, is completely false. That they will somehow just absorb it from our good actions. God could use a chemical reaction to change people. He could give them a little belief pill to swallow if he wanted. But instead, he's pleased to use ordinary people, the weak things of this world, doing weak things like just speaking, like I'm speaking now, to communicate the good news, person to person, with words. It's why our three values as a church are that we are Gospel-centered, Bible-centered, and Jesus-centered. Very practically, this means that we, in our singing, in our conversation, our teaching, our outreach, want to focus on how to be saved by believing in Jesus. We won't always be good at that, but that's what we're aiming for. That salvation from sin, hell, and death is the greatest need of humanity, and that we'll do this from the Bible, examining the Bible together and introducing people to the living person of Jesus Christ. Many of us, after all, have come from backgrounds, including myself, where hymns were sung, communion given, and sermons preached that didn't do this. They left you in your sins. They gave you a hit of religion, a buzz, but it wasn't satisfying. And maybe for some, they even inoculated them against true faith. However, if we want to see lives change, we need to get this news about what Christ has done to people with urgency. Because of that, we're an evangelical church. Now, we know labels are not the most important thing. It doesn't matter what label we give to ourselves. What matters is what we do and how we live. Paul came preaching the gospel to the Corinthians. I'm convinced that we must raise up more preachers, godly people who can teach the word in settings like this church. We must ask the Lord to raise up church planters as well so we can multiply churches. More evangelists who can compellingly communicate the gospel on doorsteps, in the workplace, in our ministries. And all of us should be equipped to say something confidently about our faith. We thank God that the Apostle Paul was a preacher. Well, the second word, received. Paul teaches that faithful handling of the gospel is to do with faithful reception. Paul commends the Corinthian church for having received the gospel from him. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And in verse 8, he says at the end of a list of those Christ appeared to that he was abnormally born. Now, most people agree that he isn't talking about his literal birth here, but saying that he received his apostleship in an unusual way through a vision of Jesus Christ. To begin with, he was known as Saul, and he'd not been present at the events, the death and resurrection of Jesus. But then Jesus met him. Acts 9, verse 4 picks up the story. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And so now in our passage, in verse 9, he calls himself the least of the apostles, but acknowledges that he's an apostle by God's grace. Although he was undeserving because of his former life, God, who chooses the undeserving, chose Paul. Because of this commission, Paul has received the true gospel from Jesus. He says, "I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ," Galatians 1:12. So the fact that the Corinthians have received the gospel from Paul, who received it directly from Jesus, means that they have the true gospel. We're going to look at the content of that gospel in a minute. It's not a message of human origin, a piece of advice from a life coach, but truth revealed from God. Verse 11, he reminds them that this is what they believed. Now, we should say, Paul doesn't think that the Corinthian church have deliberately strayed from the message. That's not why he's reminding them. Or that they've sought to distort it. Rather, from what he goes on to say about the resurrection, it seems they've become confused about the implications of the resurrection of the dead. Needless to say, this is a central element of the gospel that can't be deleted or edited out. At Cumbria Christian Youth Camp, the young people memorize parts of scripture. Throughout the week, their job is to memorize the verses they're given and then to go to the leaders and to try to, as faithfully as possible, say the verse that they've memorized. They're not meant to add bits to it, spruce it up a bit, make it look something that it isn't. They just need to be faithful to pass it on. And from Paul's words, we know that the role of Christians in every generation is not to look for a fresh message. The role is faithful transmission of what we have received. Yes, we might retell it in fresh ways, but we aren't editing it, changing it, or deleting it. We believe that a good job is done at football school when a child finds out how to be saved from their sins by Jesus. The Holy Spirit will make the gospel ever fresh to those who hear it. Well, we do our best to use the gifts God has given us wisely to make it known. The Holy Spirit will do the important part of the work. Thirdly, stand. One of the great joys to me was to read the parish profile and the role outline for the new vicar. It says in parish profile this, I'll quote, "We are a conservative evangelical church located in a coastal town in beautiful West Cumbria, prayerfully seeking a new vicar to work with our associate minister. We're looking for a man who will help build us up in spiritual maturity, for a deeper knowledge of the gospel, and who will equip and train us effectively to proclaim Jesus. St. John's has a long history of faithful Bible teaching. We're seeking a vicar who loves studying the Word of God and faithfully sharing it, and who will provide appropriate support for us to study his word so we can come to know God more intimately. We desire a vicar who can help shepherd and equip us to get the gospel out to our community. We also want to continue training up faithful new leaders for teaching roles in our church and beyond." Now, that is a beautiful and wonderful statement of what a church should believe. And I want to thank again everyone who had a hand in writing that. It was so wonderfully affirming to know that after 12 years of being here teaching and Fergus's 20 years here, that it was what you wanted. Without direction from any of the clergy, St. John's has taken its stand and needs to keep taking its stand. Paul commends the Corinthians as he says that they've taken their stand upon the gospel. So going forward, we must continue to stand on these truths. And so, what are they? Well, according to verse 3 of chapter 15, "What I received, I passed on to you of first importance." These things have the first importance. There is nothing else that can top them. And they are that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, end of verse 3. That he was buried. He was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. If Christ died for our sins, we must preach this grace and kindness to ourselves and to our parish and beyond. Paul is particularly concerned that the resurrection is not dropped out of the gospel. At the center is the truth that Christ was raised on the third day. And this death and resurrection is substantiated from the scriptures by which he means the Old Testament. And did you see that he says that Christ appeared, verse 6, to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters, quote, "most of whom are still living." So what Paul is saying is, go and check it out, Corinthians, if you're not sure. Go and ask those who were actually there when Christ appeared to them. Now, I guarantee that as I say this to any body of people and point them to that in the scripture, there will be people who've never realized that before, never heard that Christ appeared to 500 people after his resurrection. But isn't it true that it's confidence building to know that? Going forward, we must continue to stand upon these truths. In the coming year, we'll refresh our church vision, and at the AGM, I'll share some of the vision that I have for St. John's. But no program or project has first importance. The message has first importance. Yeah, we'll pray and we'll strive to be strategic in West Cumbria. But if we fail in some of the strategy despite our faithful efforts, in a sense, that's okay. What we mustn't fail in is standing on these truths. The first job of all the leaders here, and of course myself, is to be faithful. And the serious warning for the Corinthians is that to fail in this verse 2 is to have believed in vain. We don't keep our stand on the gospel, we've believed in vain. We've squandered it. Well, fifthly, saved. Why is all of this so important? And haven't we heard it before? Well, like large projects experience slippage and get behind schedule, lose focus on their aims, we mustn't let the gospel slip. Naturally, it moves from the center of our lives. And that will be true for St. John's if we're not careful. Christians who were once on fire for the Lord gradually shift emphasis. Churches that once were gospel beacons become obsessed with their programs and simply doing good, however they define that. I would rather that we stopped our programs and refocused on the gospel if we needed to, if we ever got sidetracked from it. Taking our stand upon the death and resurrection of Jesus matters, because by the gospel of Jesus Christ, people are saved. It is how it's how people get safely to heaven, by believing it and by continuing in it. Like people who are in our church, it's how I get safely to heaven, by believing it. God loves lost people, and his project of redemption is to win them back. It says in the Bible that he's gathering a people for himself who will share what they've received with others and will enjoy their relationship with God forever. So what have we seen? We've seen that Paul preached the gospel as we must. He received it from Jesus, and the Corinthians received it from him. We receive it by going to the scriptures, the Bible. That they took their stand upon it. We also must take our stand upon it. And this is so vital, because by it we are saved. Lord, we humbly ask that you would protect and defend us. Give us such love for lost people, and also for this news. Lord, we pray that we would hold on to the death and resurrection of Jesus, the death for our sins, the resurrection that gives new life. Lord, only you can do this. Only you can make dead people come to life. So, Lord, we pray that we would stand upon it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.